This morning, if you have your Bibles, you probably need to get them out and turn with me if you want to read the scripture. We don't have a PowerPoint this morning. First of all my people that follow my PowerPoints are in Johnson City. And Kelly said, well, Tommy can handle it. But then there's this other dilemma. Kelly said, which computer are you going to do your PowerPoint on? I got a new computer and I haven't got everything figured out yet. And I just know that the old computer I had, or I still have it, was really old. It's probably 10 years old, and that's really old for a computer. And I think the thing that Marlene hears me say in the office more than anything else is, come on, computer, because it stops. And so we got this new computer, and hopefully by next Sunday we'll have things figured out. But our scripture passage today comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. And you may follow along with me. And I do have my Bible up here, but as I get older, that writing gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And I've learned that the copy machine has a great enlargement feature. I am everything I hoped I never would be. But I guess we're getting there. But follow along with me as we read these verses. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you have used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourself as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul is the author of the letter to Romans, probably written around the year AD 56, and probably written from Corinth. Paul is finishing up his third missionary journey, and he has a heart for Rome. Paul was a Roman citizen, and the whole book of Romans is purpose is to tell them to how to come to know Jesus Christ and then how to live as they should. And so it speaks volumes to us when we read the book of Romans, telling us how that we should live and how that we can come to know Jesus Christ. I think about verse 15 and the verse that we started with. And Paul asked the question, he said, shall we sin because we will be forgiven? And he says, no. We don't need to sin just because we will be forgiven. I have worked with young people a long time. And a lot of times youth will go out and think they can do just whatever they want to do because God's going to forgive them when they ask. And that is true. God does forgive us when we sin. No matter what we do, no matter how we fall short of the glory of God, when we ask God to forgive us, He forgives us. But we don't go out and live a sinful life on purpose just because we can be forgiven. And Paul is telling the church at Rome, and Paul also tells the church at Galatia, Paul tells all the churches that he talks to basically, that if you want to be free, give your life to Christ, get out of the sin business, and life will be good. Everybody wants to be free. last night at Freedom Hall in Johnson City. I don't know what Freedom Hall is. There's a baseball field there and a stadium and something else. But it's Freedom Hall. They were free. We watched fireworks. And I must admit, it's probably the best fireworks that I have ever seen. They went on and on and on, and they kept getting louder and louder and taller and taller, and they even had fireworks that screamed out when they came down. And we were blessed there in the church parking lot to have some dear old fellow with some really loud speakers in his car, and he was playing all the patriotic music. Everything from I'm proud to be an American to born in the USA. But I bet the thing I heard last night is I'm so thankful that we're free. And I'm glad we're free. I'm not putting down our freedom whatsoever. But freedom from oppression and things that we experience in this nation are great. But Paul tells us, and God tells us, that when we're free from sin, we are truly free. I think about freedom. And the image that came to my mind, and I don't have a PowerPoint behind me today, but you can go in your mind and think about a spider web. Have you ever watched a spider working on a spider web? They make those things, and there's some beautiful, beautiful spider webs. I don't like spiders, but I like to see their webs. But they look so good, and the purpose of that spider web is to trap something. Food for life. And to me, that is a picture of sin. There are some things out there that to us, even as Christians, that look so good. And what Paul is trying to tell the church at Rome, and I think what Paul is trying to tell us today is this, that we need to stay away from any kind of sin because, like that spider web, it looks good, but it can trap us and it can consume us and it can kill us. Paul in Galatians 5 gives a whole list of sins, things that we should stay away from and things that sometimes really look good for us. An illustration that I've done with youth for from time to time is this, that I take a roll of paper towels, and I like the brown ones a little better than these. And they used to have brown ones downstairs, and we got away from them. These are a little bit softer and better to wipe your face and hands with, all that good stuff. But you can take somebody and something simple as a paper towel. It's kind of tough. But everybody knows you can break it really easy, can't you? Julie, come up here a second. If you can get up here without breaking your other foot. Our family has frequent flyer miles at the orthopedics and the Rutherford Hospital emergency room, I think. But if let's say this represents sin. And if she holds it right here and I wrap sin around her, she's getting a sin a little bit. She's just playing with sin a little bit. Can you break out of that? She can break out of that. But I assure you this, that if I spend the next 5 minutes unrolling this roll of sin around her, and she has her arms right here and her legs together, that by the time I get finished wrapping her, she can't get out of it. Because you get to the point where you can't get a run and go and push out. You're strong, but not that strong. Thank you. And some people are stronger than others. Bill, it'd take me a whole lot more paper towels to wrap around your beefy body. Not in a bad way. I'll stick my foot in my mouth. I'm good at that. But he's stronger. But some people can be around sin and it not bother them. But some people, it just consumes. And that's the image that I want you to get in your mind. That folks, if we really want to be free and enjoy life the way that God wants us to enjoy life, we need to try our very best to avoid sin at all cost. You think about the things that we get involved in. All of us sin, but it becomes easier. I think about the serial killer Ted Bundy from years and years and years ago. They put him to death many, many years ago. But he said he started out looking at simple, not really pornography. But as he got started, that became okay in his mind, and he kept looking at worse pornography and stuff, and finally he got sick in his mind. Just like that paper being wrapped around, it grows more and more till you can't get out of it. My friends, I want you to be free. I want you to enjoy life. And I want you to stay away from sin. Paul says, be a slave to righteousness. Try to do what's right in everything that you do. In Sunday school this morning, I mentioned that little book that I mentioned quite often, and it's In His Steps by Charles Sheridan. And I've got to get copies of that book to have to hand out, because it's an old book, and in 1980, that summer, it changed my life. When I was struggling with what God wanted me to do, and I read that book, and it's a simple thing, that it's where the saying, what would Jesus do, came from. And if we put on righteousness and we become slaves to what is right, then before we do anything, we talk it over with God. And then we make the right decision. And you may say, well, if I'm a slave to righteousness, then I'm not free. But oh, yes, you are. Because biblical things don't make sense to everyday people. You think about some of the things that are in the Bible. Jesus says the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. He says, if you will lose your life for my sake, you will gain life. And things don't really make sense. But Jesus says that if you are free in me, you are free indeed. And guys, if we want to be free, then we put on righteousness. In verse 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In Tennessee, we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. And it's amazing how many people will come to a fireworks show and they will see a church out there giving away free hamburgers and hot dogs and popcorn and snow cones. And my friend Eddie was making fried dill pickles, and people were eating those things like crazy, but they just got a little taste. I don't like dill pickles. But it's amazing how many people will walk up, and then you encounter them and begin to talk to them. And it is absolutely amazing how many people don't know a thing about Jesus Christ. How many people aren't involved in church. But how many people are hooked into so many things that are causing them sadness in their life. Talk to people who are miserable. And you begin to tell them about a loving God and they don't understand it. And what we're trying to tell them, and what we should be trying to tell everybody around us, and what we should realize ourselves, is that when we give our lives to Christ, we find happiness. We find freedom. The person at that church, his name, Julie, what's his name, Mike? Tim. I'm terrible at names. Tim, the person from the Home Mission Board that is there revitalizing this church. This church that we were at had gotten down to 8 members. And they were going to close the doors of the church. They were going to give that building to one of these mega churches to have a satellite campus. And the home mission board and some of the people began to look at this church. And instead of sending a church planner to start a new church somewhere, they sent this young man as a church revitalization program, which was a pretty good idea. And let me tell you this, that God does work in great ways on mission trips, because Kelly and I have already seen some things that we can do to even help our church grow. Because if a church is not growing, it's dying. And we want to make sure that our church grow. And so you're going to be hearing some things that we're learning from a home missionary. But he went in last night to get ready to go to bed. It was about midnight, and he was in his office making some copies. And he said, now, Julie's your child, right? I'm like, uh-oh, what has she said? What has she done? And he said, I want you to know how much I appreciate what she's doing. I'm like, what's she doing? And he said that she was intermingling with all those people that were eating. Many of us were serving food. I served onions. That was my job. And I ate a bunch of onions, and I tasted them all night. It was terrible, but I was trying to use my onions as a conversation piece, telling all those little kids to get some onions and keep the girls away, or keep the boys away, and just interacting. That's what we were all doing, trying to open doors to share the gospel. But Tim said that Julie was out intermingling with the people. He said, I appreciate the fact that she spent 45 minutes talking to the church family. And so I said, well, so she was interacting with the people from your church. He said, no, the church family. I said, I know. He said, no, the church family. That's their last name. But then he said, the church family that's not involved in church, but she was inviting them to church, and there was way too many churches for a tired person at midnight. But he said, and if they're not at church tomorrow, I will be sad, because she really interacted with the church family. And it was way over my head. But we have to tell people that there's more than what the world has out there. People want to be free. I bet I heard the comments, free at last, free at last, 50 times yesterday from kids and everyone else. Everybody wants to be free. But true freedom comes from Jesus Christ. And my friends, what I want you to know is this, that if you are here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you are following Him, you know what that freedom is. You know what the freedom is to ask God to forgive you of your sins, and know that He does, and it's a peace that you can't understand. But I want you to know this, that if you are here today and sin is consuming you, that God can help you break those bonds of sin, and that you can be free. Things consume us when we don't even want them to consume us. No drug addict ever wanted to become a drug addict. And when they took that first pill, or they smoked that first joint, or whatever it was, they had no intentions of it consuming them. No alcoholic ever planned on becoming an alcoholic when they took that first taste of that awful tasting alcohol, because I've never known anybody that tasted alcohol the first time that really liked it. No person consumed by an extramarital affair ever wanted to get as far as it did. But just like that paper towel I was wrapping around Julie, it starts and it goes and it goes and it goes, and it consumes you. And my friends, as strong as we are, no matter how buff we are, or how how muscular we are, how strong mentally we are. None of us can break the bonds of sin by ourselves. But I'm here to tell you today that God loved you so much that He sent His Son into the world so that you may be free from those bonds of sin. And if you're here today and you feel like you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rolls of sin around you and it looks like a big spare tire on you, that God can reach down His hand and break away the sin and you can be free today. I've been burdened all week about somebody and their burden of sin. And I believe that God has sent somebody this way or sent somebody to turn on the radio because they need to know that God loves them enough to free them from sin. And my friends, all you got to do is say, God, I believe that you can free me. And God, I believe that you sent your Son Jesus in the world to do that. And I want to make you boss of my life and to be Lord of my life. And God, would you give me the freedom from sin today? I don't know who made the quote. I'm not sure anybody knows who said it first, but I've said it to young people for years. And it's that sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And guys, we can't break sin by ourselves. But God will break it for us if we'll just let Him. I was coming down I-40. My days are all messed up. Friday afternoon, I was coming up I-40 toward Morganton, and I was in the right-hand lane because I was going slower than a lot of the traffic. So I want y'all to clarify that. And a car passed me. And y'all know what that symbol is, don't you? The Christian symbol. You know it's the sign of the fish. And people have that on their car, and that lets you know that they're a Christian. And I don't put one on my car because I may be pushing someone down the road and then pass them. I don't want to be a bad witness. Let's be honest here, confession time. But on this car, their sign of the fish was broken. It was not a full sign of a fish. And I could not help but think that that's how many of us are. We know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We know that if we died today, we would spend eternity with Him because we've given Him our life, we've given Him our heart, acknowledge the fact that He has paid the price for our sins. But yet we don't give Him quite control. Even as Christians, sin can take control of us. And guys, for those of us who have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, I would ask you today, what do other people see in you? Do they see that complete Christian symbol, or they see a partial Christian symbol because we're not living life for Him? Won't you think about that? What's consuming you? What's got you? Who controls your life? Is it righteousness or is it sin? Then I would say to you this, that I want you to take something home. I love listening to my sports talk radio when I'm in a car where I can get to Charlotte stations. And one of the guys on there, before they start every day, they say, "What did you learn? What did you learn? What did you learn?" And they were talking about what went on last night. So I would say to you today, what you gonna take home? What you gonna take home? What you gonna take home? I want you to know that if you got sin in your life, that it can consume you. So I encourage you, if you're here today, you may be consumed with sin, you may be wrapped up, or you may just be dabbling in sin. I work with a bunch of youth that are faced with all kinds of things, and maybe you're dabbling. Today's the time to stop it. And you can do that by giving everything to God or giving it back to God. Then I want you to take this home with you, that no matter what your situation, God wants you to be free. God wants you to be free from sin so much that He sent His only Son into the world to pay that price for your sin. Then I would say to you that if you become a slave to righteousness and that you live your life trying to be pleasing to God, that you will experience a freedom that words cannot explain. What do you need to do today? That's between you and God. Some of you may need to come down to the front of the church and let everybody know that you're giving your heart to Christ, that you want to be free. Some of you may need to come forward and kneel and confess. Some of you may need to just, right where you're at, recommit yourself to God and ask Him to let you be free, because freedom is what it's all about. What do people see? What do people see in you? Are you free? Are you in bondage? Are you a little bit of both? God can set you free. And life can be good. And that's what He wants for you. Would you pray with me? God, I thank You that You loved me enough that You would send Your Son into the world to die to pay the price for my sins. That You loved me enough that You sent Your Son to die so that I may be free. God, I thank You that You loved everyone in this room, that You loved everyone listening by means of radio, that You loved each one enough that You sent Your Son just for them to pay the price for their sins so that they may be free. God, I pray that You would help us to leave here today with a peace in our heart that comes from being free in You. It is grace, that marvelous grace that we just sang about, that allows us to be free. And I would pray today that You would help each one of us to experience it, and that we would go from here free as a bird in You. Lord, let us make those decisions that You'd have us to make today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Kelly, come and lead us. Our invitation hymn is...